Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
The one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Wednesday to you as we come into the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee, Cam. Gang's all here. Cam's got the Periscope fired up if you want to watch along. Ben Lee's got the phone lines. If there's anything you want to talk to him about, like he might let you on the air, but he'll probably just talk to you. So call and ask Ben how he's doing. And then Cody. Cody's got mic number two. I got mic number one. Let's ride. How are we today? Thumbs up for Ben Lee. Cody.
Anywhere be too good. Here be too good.
Well, I say many words. Well, I say lot words. Few words do.
Few words do. Kawhi Leonard.
Is that how it went? Few word do trick. Should have said few word do.
Few word do trick.
Well, I say many word. Few word do.
We should come up with quotes and play a game on who said this. Was it Kawhi Leonard or a caveman?
Kawhi Leonard or Kevin Malone from The Office?
Yeah, that would be fun. Well, it's good to be here. Good to be anywhere. I hope that you are doing well. You know, today, weather-wise, is kind of the opposite of yesterday. Yesterday, what a great day. Sunny, breezy, 70s. Might have gotten up past 80 at one point, but it was a nice day. Today, just cold and wet. Cold and wet.
I don't really classify this as cold, but okay.
Well, it's
just
cold.
Wet.
It's cold on the toes.
Well, I have socks and shoes on.
Well, I don't.
Okay. So your toes might be cold.
I didn't realize that it was wet outside before I put on my shoes.
Do you need
sandals.
Me to warm your feet up for you?
No, that seems like a dangerous thing
here,
to do.
Just plop them up right here.
No.
My hands are like gloves.
You don't want to touch these feet.
I'll do it for you, though.
No.
If it'll help.
It seems like a horrible idea.
If it'll make you happy.
I don't think it will. I think it would make me uncomfortable.
Okay. Well, if it's going to make you uncomfortable, then don't do it.
Need to get over to Spa 9700 is where I need to get.
Yeah.
They do a great job there.
I got me some pills recently for my toes.
Some pills?
Yeah. Because I mean, I don't know if I've talked about it on the air or not. And I don't know if this is a conversation we need to have right here.
I think it's a good way to start the show.
Here on, you know, smack dab 12 o'clock when people are eating lunch. But
let's talk about your toes.
I got some ugly toes. I got three toes that need work.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've seen some ugly toes.
I mean, I don't think mine are like in the top 10 ugliest or anything, but they need some work in terms of getting some, you know, some fungus removed.
Are they like yellow?
I don't want to go into great detail about it.
The nail, is it yellow or is it more of a clear?
I don't want to go into great detail about it, but I recently got some medication for it, so I'm about to have sort of 84-day streak of taking a pill every day. And like as I was
there's
picking
no it, way you're gonna remember that every day.
Yes, I will. Just when I wake up the first thing in the morning, I will take it. Like it's
hard to remember that.
No, I'm an adult. I can remember how to do it. I'll
take my toe pill.
I'll remember how to do it.
I think I forget.
But as I was picking it up, the pharmacist was like, yeah, now make sure you drink a lot of water. Make sure you don't get out in the sun, and make sure that your liver doesn't fail. Like make sure to keep an eye on that. I was like, wait, what?
All three of those, very important.
So now I'm just a little stressed to start taking it because I'm like, what happens if my blood gets messed up? What happens if this? Like, this seems like a dangerous game to play. I was like, all of a sudden, I was like, my toes don't seem that bad.
I think you talked about your toes before, and you told us about it, and then you showed us. And from what I remember, I didn't think they were that bad.
Okay, cool. Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
But it's a thing you want to fix.
Yeah, yeah.
Just personally.
So, what's the biggest story in sports today?
Probably
I've said this, you know, many times throughout the the tenure of Talk Sports. I hate Wednesdays. Like, don't get me wrong. I love overrated, underrated, Ben. So don't take offense to that. You do a great job. But I hate Wednesdays in the sports world. Nothing happens on Wednesdays. I mean, tonight we got Game 7 of the Bruins and Blues.
Yeah, we do. It's a huge Game 7. I mean, it decides the series.
I think all Game 7s are huge. Right? I mean, just by definition, I think Game 7s are always huge, right?
Yeah, but especially in the championship. This is for the cup.
This is for the cup. It's for the cup.
I got the Blues.
You think the Blues win tonight?
I do.
Okay.
I think they're going to go into Boston and they're going to rally.
Do you have any reasons why?
No. No, I just really like the Blues. I will say, though, it's going to be tough to go in there. You know, with Big Poppy just getting shot, you got to think those Boston fans are going to be on edge. I mean, they're going to be wild in there tonight.
Oh, wow.
Don't you think so? I mean, you could see several signs that say, do it for Poppy. This is their first big gathering since the shooting.
So we think they're going to try to rally around Big Poppy?
I'm afraid they might try to rally around Big Poppy, but I still like the Blues.
They no reasons for, like, on the ice, anything that's going to happen?
I like the way that they skate.
Yeah.
You know, they move. They move well. They got a couple of very capable goal scorers, a good goalkeeper. They defend the goal pretty well. Now, they did give up, what, 5 to Boston in the last game?
The goalkeeper didn't seem like he was really – now, granted, like, at the end of that game, 6, the Blues were really taking some liberties. They were playing a little dirty towards the end. They were frustrated. They were, as you would say, big mad. They were big mad at the end of that game.
Yeah, and 4 of those goals came in the third period. So that's what happens. You know, you get a little desperate toward the end of the game, so you change your lineup and you
start getting you move penalties guys around. And everything happens. Yeah, sure.
Sometimes there's an empty net.
Yeah.
You know, goals happen. But, you know, typically they have a very good goalkeeper. Now, I can't remember his name.
Oh, okay. That was going to be my follow-up question here.
He's got some name that, you know with these Canadians, they kind of odd names.
Sure.
But,
so you think he's Canadian? He's the goalkeeper in St. Louis.
Yeah,
is Canadian?
He's got kind of an odd name, from what I remember.
Okay.
But I do really like the Blues' chances tonight. I mean, I'm rooting for the Blues. You know, I'm just a big fan of the Blues.
As you've mentioned before, you like St. Louis.
I like the Cardinals.
I don't think is Jordan Bennington. Is that a weird name?
That's the goalkeeper's name.
Yeah, is that
That's
a weird
right.
name? I mean, you said he had like a weird Canadian name.
Bennington.
Is Bennington a weird name?
I mean, there's several ways you can pronounce
Jordan's
that.
Pretty normal.
Yeah, I mean, I knew it was a Canadian, you know, Bennington. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could pronounce that. Gets a little confusing.
Does that feel Canadian?
I didn't know we were going to.
He was born in Canada.
Yeah.
He was born in Canada.
I told you he was Canadian.
Yeah. Okay.
But,
Point for you on that one, I guess.
Yeah. Confusing name. I just couldn't remember the name. Jordan or Josh or something. Anyway, I am pulling for the Blues.
So just basically, if you're listening, that 6-minute conversation there is why I hate Wednesdays.
You don't like hockey?
I mean, it could be hockey. It could be anything. It could be us trying to squeeze out some content about the U.S. Open that begins tomorrow.
How about the Women's World Cup? Hadn't even mentioned that. That's going to be a big deal if they get back to the championship, and they won it 4 years ago.
Is it going to be a big deal?
I think so. It was a big deal when they won it last.
Was it actually a big deal?
Well, yeah, because there's nothing else going on.
Do you remember where you were when it happened?
Probably somewhere in Arkansas.
4 years ago?
Yeah.
Just went home for the summer or something?
Yeah, I would have been in college. I don't remember the exact place I was at, no.
Okay. I mean, I was just wondering. When you tell me it's not that big. When you say something to me that something was a big deal, I think is it fair to say that one of the criteria on the checklist is you have to remember where you were?
Not necessarily.
1998, Tennessee, Arkansas? You remember where you were?
No.
You don't?
I imagine at home.
Okay, so you don't remember that?
Not really.
So it wasn't big to you at that time. I remember where I was.
I think I was at home probably watching with my dad.
Okay, so maybe you're a little too young then, I guess, at that point. Because I guess...
I was really into NASCAR.
So you hadn't started liking football yet? Okay.
I liked football, but I was not a freak yet.
Sure. Puberty and all that stuff.
That makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was 5, 6. I don't know.
Okay. Is that fair to say if it's a big deal, you remember where you were when it happened? Is that easy to put on the checklist?
Not always.
I mean, assuming that you're over the age of 6 years old?
Not always.
No?
I don't think so. Because what if you're really drunk and a big thing happens?
I still remember.
You might not remember where you were.
I remember where I was for big night for me. Really drunk. Same night that you were really excited, the Cardinals and Rangers game six.
I was
shout out to Tin Roof on the Strip.
We were both
hammered.
Drunk. We were
hammered
both drunk
at Tin
that
Roof
night.
On the Strip.
We were both drunk that night. Didn't even know each other.
No,
I was 500 miles away.
2011.
I would have been in Conway, Arkansas. That's when I
You'd been like what 18, 19?
Yeah,
seems illegal.
It was
okay,
but I mean I drank a lot in my dorm. We've been over this about my dorm stories.
I know.
Yeah. You've read the reports.
I just think that for it to be a big thing, you have to remember where you were. At least Ben's nodding his head. He agrees. Cam's preparing his NFL roulette that we'll play later.
Now, that's always fun. The one time we've done it.
Yeah, one time was a hit, so we'll play some NFL roulette later. I'm going to stay off the NFL page of all these websites. Get caught by surprise.
Are we doing that before headlines or after? Because that may be difficult, as there could be some crossover.
You do some headlines, and then Cam will have to replace them.
I'll do all non-NFL headlines.
You could throw some NFL stuff on headlines. It's fine.
No, that's fine. There's headlines aplenty this time of year.
I guess there was an NFL headline. I mean, power ranking stories that happened yesterday. I mean, yeah, the Women's World Cup, 13-0 against Thailand.
Those poor Thai girls, I mean, they were just getting murdered.
Like, do you want to have the conversation about sportsmanship?
Sportsmanship.
Yeah. I mean, the Team USA was scoring a lot of goals, obviously, and, you know, you have to score. That's that's one of the tiebreakers if things happen to break that way where you have to look at goal differential. The U.S. needs as many goals as possible. But, man, they were really pouring it on with the celebrations, too.
Oh, you should always know my take on that one. I am pro pouring it on.
Okay. But, I mean, the celebrating, too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I don't have a take when it comes to that. Like, I would feel guilty doing it. But at the same time, I probably would do it if it was something that I was good in. Like, if we were going to do something, you know, athletic or something to test a wits or something, if I was running the score up, I would probably enjoy myself.
Absolutely. I mean, well, you got to think, I hope that doesn't come back to bite them. You don't want to celebrate too much in front of the sports gods in a game like that because, you know, we could come back and we could be on the other end of that. You never know who we're going to play down the road. I mean, when we run into Germany or somebody else who I assume is good in the Women's World Cup, it's going to be a little bit tougher, you know. Brazil, teams like that, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who the good Women's World Cup teams are, I'll admit.
Yeah. Yeah, me neither, really.
Netherlands, maybe? I don't know.
Australia, I think, is okay, but I think they lost their first game. Is it Japan we always played? Did we play Japan the final last go-around? Ben shaking his head yes, but I think it's what happened, but him shaking his head yes doesn't really give me any more confidence. But I think it's what happens too, so I'm not going to say he's wrong because I'd be calling myself wrong.
I think he's just doing it because that's what you said.
That's why it's not really giving me any more confidence.
And he's like, yeah, he that's might remember, right.
But there's been many times where he's just co-signed, and then I figured you knew came out of his mouth afterwards. So I appreciate it.
He just
so maybe Japan's
assumes,
still good. Maybe Japan's still good in the World Cup. I hate Wednesday.
I assume you're right. I don't know.
I hate Wednesday so much.
For 85 years, not.
Back on the program. We did get our stepping on a little NFL news, maybe stepping on headlines too. We did get some Hard Knocks news yesterday. How do you feel about that? We get the Oakland / soon to be Las Vegas Raiders on Hard Knocks. Where does that hit you in terms of excitement?
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Okay, out of 10. Wow. I think 10 out of 10.
Yeah, and honestly, if we were really talking story of the day, if you had just asked me straight up, an honest answer, that's probably what I would have told you.
Okay.
I think that's probably the story of the day. Just when you think about the guys who are out there, right? I mean, that's the thing. You got to have the personalities for Hard Knocks. And they certainly have the personalities for Hard Knocks. Get a little insight on the life of Mark Davis. I hope we get that.
Yeah, like I really need a scene where the cameras get in his van and ride to him to get his hair cut, 180 miles or however far he drives to get his hair cut, and then back to where he sits at P.F. Chang's.
Gruden obviously is a captivating personality. He's, you know, we're familiar with him on TV as it is, so we'll get to see him on TV again. He's been successful in his, you know, Monday Night Football stint and in his quarterback camps and all that. This will be a little bit different. Hopefully it'll be a little more personal with HBO doing it. I think it'll be great with just those two. I mean, those two alone I think are going to be more interesting than some of these we've seen. You know, like the Rams. You remember the Rams one with Jeff Fisher?
Yeah.
I mean, that one was just kind of like, eh, okay, whatever. And
yeah,
then,
but it did give us the clip of, I'm not going bleeping 8-8 or 7-9 this year. Or yeah. 9-7. You're like, yeah, let's go, Jeff. And then they went like 3-13. You're like, you're right. You didn't go 7-9 or 8-8.
The one with the Browns was really good last year.
Okay, so I couldn't remember this morning who had done it last year. It was the
Browns.
Yeah,
because you remember we had the big
the
big walrus coach. That one was pretty good. But I think this has the potential to be maybe the best one ever. I mean, looking down the list, Antonio Brown, Vontaze Burfict, Richie Incognito. That's got to be, from a player standpoint, I think that's the one I'm most interested in.
Incognito?
Yeah. Now, hopefully he doesn't, like, murder someone during the filming.
Man, they got lot of guys. Like you said, Burfict. I don't want to hear, like, they're going to try to humanize Vontaze Burfict. I don't need that. We don't need the human element of him, right? Like, I don't need them going back to his house. And I'm assuming he has kids. I don't know if he has kids. But assuming he has kids, I don't need to see them. And him be like, yeah, no one gets to see my daddy's side. They just get to hear about all the terrible things. I don't need that from Vontaze Burfict. Just continue to be the villain, right? I don't want to come out thinking, wow, so he just goes out there headhunting so he can protect his family and feed his family. Nah, don't need it. No thanks.
Nathan Peterman is out there.
Now we're talking. Can we get a heart-to-heart with Nathan Peterman about how terrible these first couple of years in the NFL have gone? Can we just get a sit down where we ask Nathan Peterman, like, how does it feel to have some of the worst absolute starts in both college and NFL history? Like, what was worse, Peterman, when you threw the 6 interceptions against San Diego / the Chargers? I don't know if they were in Los Angeles yet or not. That game, or when you went to the swamp and you couldn't even, you know, drop back to pass without fumbling or throwing an interception.
He accounted for 4 turnovers in that game.
Yeah, which one was worse?
Had to be against the Chargers. Because that's his livelihood at stake. But either way, I mean, the guy's just a turnover machine. I mean, he's the laughingstock of the NFL when it comes to quarterbacks. I don't know how he's still in the NFL. I mean, I really don't. Half the time he touches the ball, it's a turnover.
I guess Gruden has a thing for former SEC quarterbacks who, I mean, I don't know. He traded for A.J. McCarron last year, too.
Yeah, Gruden's probably going to be a failure, too. Mike Mayock and Tom Cable also there.
They got a lot. They got a lot of star power. I don't know if any of these guys are still good. Like, I don't know if Incognito can still play. Perfect's fine. Antonio Brown, we haven't even really focused on him. Like, maybe we'll get something where he talks more trash about Juju Smith-Schuster. I like that little rivalry going on, although, like, I'm firmly in Juju's camp now, which is weird because I started in Brown's camp. And then he just kept going on and on about the young guy. The moment he exposed him, like, via, like, Instagram DMs or whatever, where Juju was basically just like, hey, man, I look up to you. You got any pointers? You're a great receiver. I'm just trying to get better. Once Antonio Brown tweeted those out, like, that was his big gotcha moment. Breaking young intern wants to look up to a professional in the industry and ask for advice.
And he put him on blast for that?
And he put him on blast. Like, that was really the time I was like, all right, Antonio, I'm done with this. But maybe we can keep that beef going. And you didn't even really talk about Derek Carr.
Yeah, we'll get to see his relationship with John Gruden.
I think that is a interesting dynamic. I do think, like, because, I mean, he's in kind of a make-or-break year. Like, I think he has 1 year with Antonio Brown to show whether or not he is going to be the quarterback of the future there.
He doesn't really fit in Oakland.
No, he doesn't feel like he fits in on – Las Vegas much better, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like you need to have a certain personality to be that quarterback, you know? The Oakland Raiders quarterback, or as you, yeah, the Las Vegas Raiders soon enough. I will probably get to know more about their field selection and all that, too, and how all that process went down, about how they're basically the fact that people in Oakland want them to stay there, you know, the true diehard fans. I hope we get an angle on that. The fact that they're moving to Vegas.
That'll be fun. Like, I do think, I mean, especially when you compare them, when you compare them to the other teams who were on the list, the other options, did you see the other teams that, like, they were competing against? Because there's certain criteria you have to hit to get put on here. Like, you can't have made the playoffs in the last couple years. Like, they kind of reward playoff teams. Like, hey, if you make the playoffs, you don't have to be on Hard Knocks.
Right.
It was the 49ers, the Giants, the Lions, and the Redskins. I mean, I don't think any of us were lining up to watch any of those teams, right?
The Giants would be the only one that I would be remotely interested in.
And I don't even know if I want to see the Giants now that Odell's gone. It just would have been Daniel Jones and Eli Manning. That would have been it.
I'd like to see Dwayne Haskins kind of develop.
Yeah.
But then, like, Jay's the one that kind of said, like, they'd be crazy not to go to Oakland.
Yeah, Jay was really trying to push it off on his brother. Like, hey, man, you got all the storylines you ever need out there.
I mean, that's
I don't need to see the 49ers. I don't need to see the Lions. Redskins, Giants, I'm good on that. So I do think it was a pretty easy choice here. Hard Knocks will premiere August 6th. Always kind of like those.
Oh, yeah. A 30-person NFL Films crew will be in the Raiders training camp in Napa Valley, according to Alan Bell of 247, who is a friend of the show. And they will shoot more than 1,750 hours of footage over the course of the series. Mark Davis says, everybody wants to be a Raider. Now they'll find out what it takes to become one.
He said through gritted teeth.
I'm excited about it. I think it's got the potential to be better than the Browns one last year. And I thought the Browns' Hard Knocks was very good. Incognito.
I mean, we just love the NFL, though. Like, I love this behind-the-scenes look at stuff. The NFL, I mean, like, it used to be a year-round sport. Like, does it still feel like a year-round sport? Like, because obviously I like talking about the NBA just as much, if not more, than the NFL. I know that the audience doesn't always skew that way, but the NFL, like, are they lacking some storylines this year, or is it just me? Like, it feels like the last couple years, we haven't really talked about them much when it comes to the offseason.
I mean, the NFL still usually finds a way into our headlines every day.
Okay.
One thing or another.
Sure.
You know, there have been some storylines this year. Now, they haven't all been positive. But they've been stories, a lot of domestic violence and things like that. Which Kareem Hunt, that happened back during the season. But we've seen some other storylines since then. Reuben Foster comes to mind. We talked a lot about him.
Okay. I just don't feel, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of lost its grip. I haven't thought much about the NFL. I mean, I guess after the, was it after the draft? No, it was before the draft when the Browns traded for Odell, right? That was like in March. Because they traded their first round pick there, which, you know, gave the Giants 2 first round picks.
The Super Bowl's in February. And then that happened in March. The draft was end of April. So, I mean, it's been pretty consistent. Like,
okay.
You know.
Maybe I'm off on this. Maybe I'm off. And we'll play some NFL roulette, you know, later in the show to kind of, we'll keep you, I guess, attached to the NFL during the offseason. Like, mini camps did open yesterday. Like, we are getting a little bit of some news from around the league.
Yeah, and the preseason will be here before we know it.
Preseason will be here before we know it.
Early, like, August, right?
August 6th. Like, I mean, yeah. I think the preseason kind of starts the same week Hard Knocks does. So, yeah, like, we are getting sort of close.
Month and a half.
Yeah. Sort of close. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. We're gonna keep scraping and crawling until we hit our rhythm here on this Wednesday. We did have a little news coming out of Knoxville. Another Vol offensive lineman retiring from football. This one is freshman offensive lineman Melvin McBride. Obviously, Tennessee has had what? 6 offensive linemen medically retire in the last couple years.
6 offensive linemen have medically retired?
Just in the last couple of years. I mean, if you go back to Jack Jones, that was what, 2 years ago?
I remember Big Jack.
Jack Jones, Chance Hall, Devontae Brooks, who, I mean, was never really ever on the field. That Tanner Antonutti, same kind of thing. Eric Crosby, Melvin McBride. Tennessee has had other players retire medically this season as well.
I'll never forget Jack and Chance Hall coming in that game against Alabama's freshmen on the road and really holding their own.
Yeah, I mean, I thought both those guys were going to be studs on the offensive line, and then their bodies kind of betrayed them.
That was a game that we really, I don't want to say we should have won because we were coached by Butch Jones and we were playing Alabama, but
could have won.
Very well could have won. In it in the fourth quarter. That's the last time we've been remotely competitive against Bama. Ben remembers that one. He gave me a nod of, I got you, I remember.
I mean, we thought Jack Jones was going to be a stud, even going back to that. I mean, that his last moment I really remember was him clearing the way for, I want to say, a Jalen Hurd run or a pass. Maybe it was Dobbs against Georgia in 2015.
Yeah.
And that was also, you know, that's whenever you thought, well, we got our, you know, we got some mean stud offensive linemen and, you know, haven't, obviously, had all those guys pan out. But I don't want to do the show where we are looking for things to talk about and we default back to Tennessee football.
Right, of course.
I don't want to do that. Yeah. I just wanted to give that news that just came across, Tennessee losing another offensive lineman. What would you like to talk about, Cody?
How about this Skydeck in Chicago cracking?
Wait. Skydeck?
Now, you're familiar with what – you know exactly what I'm talking about because this thing gets tagged on Instagram all the time, and I know you're not on Instagram, so that doesn't make sense. But it's the – you know, it used to be the Sears Tower. It's now the Willis Tower.
Mm-hmm.
It has become famous in recent years for the glass floor where you can literally walk out on a ledge from the building.
So I've seen some of those viral videos with people being scared to walk out.
Yeah, because you walk out on it, and it's glass, and it's see-through. So, sure, it's strong, and it's protective, and they built it to, you know, to designed architecturally, structurally adequate and all that. But you walk out on it, and you look down, and you're like, oh, my God, because that's 103 floors down. The Sears Tower used to be the tallest building in America. I think that One World Trade Center has beaten it out now, I think. Could be wrong, but I think so. Anyway, That's 103 floors up, and you look down, you can see the sidewalk. Like, you're looking straight down the side of that building. It would be terrifying. And I've always said that those glass floors like that scare the hell out of me because I'm a little afraid of heights. And they've got something like this in Memphis now, the pyramid. Have you been up there?
I've been to the pyramid, obviously, where the Bass Pro Shops is now, right?
Right. And they built the bar up there.
They built the bar up there. No, we were going to go to dinner there one night. You know, my girlfriend used to live in Memphis, so we went to Bass Pro. We tried to get reservations, and I want to say it was going to be like an hour and a half wait or 2 hours wait, so we said, forget it. So, no, I've never actually been up there, but I know I'm familiar with what you're talking about where you can go up to the top of it. Mm-hmm. So they have a walkway up there, too, where you can get out and walk around. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they have an area that's just like an overlook. You know, you walk out onto the ledge, basically, of the top of the building. And it's just, you know, it's a good spot to take pictures or whatever. And the doors just come right out from the bar, the restaurant up there.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you walk out and you're outdoors, a nice little place to stand and have a drink or whatever and just look out over Memphis, right? Well, the first part, they've got this glass floor there now, just like they do in Chicago at the Willis Tower. And so you can look down the pyramid now. And if that were to break and you were to fall through, sure, very unlikely. But if it were to happen, you would just slide down the pyramid.
Yeah, that wouldn't be fun. Although it would be better than falling straight down.
Exactly.
I would rather slide down the pyramid than fall straight down a tower. So
you're probably going to die either way, but yes.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe not.
It would be best to slide. That's the good thing about a pyramid.
You'd be going so fast. You'd be zooming down that thing so fast.
Yeah, you would.
On the glass and everything.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's like the Dark Knight when, you know, he drops Rachel out the window and she's sliding down there. And then Batman has to run and jump. And then, you know, they end up, you know, falling because the slope didn't go all the way down. But the pyramid, the slope would go all the way down.
Hopefully they haven't, like, cleaned or waxed it recently.
Oof, extra speed.
Now, that is one architectural benefit of being on top
on
of
the
pyramid.
Sure.
On top of a, you know, a rectangle. Or that's what that would be, rectangular prism, basically.
Yes.
Would be the Willis Tower. You just fall straight down 100 floors to your death. So, anyway, apparently last night, the ledge, the top protective layer of the ledge,
mm-hmm.
splintered into thousands of pieces.
Yeah. Was anybody on there when it happened?
I'm not sure. They shot a video of it, but...
I never want to go out to those things. Like, I don't want anything to do with those. Like,
I'm fairly certain I saw in the story at some point that, like, yeah, people were on it and it started to crack and they kind of all just jumped off.
Are you afraid of heights?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I'm terrified.
That makes me sick.
Is everyone afraid of heights now? Like, I feel like as you get older, you get more afraid of heights.
I do too, because I wasn't like that when I was younger.
Yeah.
Now I get a feeling in my stomach even when I watch the videos of, like, people that climb those towers.
Those damn influencers that'll go up there and do tricks there, like, on those things.
Yeah. I can't
the
even
guy's
imagine.
Like holding the girl by the arm and stuff. I'm just like, you big idiots. The ones that always get me is when a guy's like riding a tricycle up there, like on a thing. Have you ever seen that? Where a guy's like on a little unicycle, not a tricycle, or a unicycle, doing tricks. I'm like, ugh.
It's this selfie just generation.
Once, just once, I need them to fall. Just once. Like,
they
while,
do fall.
Well, I mean, like while like live on Periscope. Like, with the videos. Let's
so
go
you can
Periscope.
Actually watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to get a viral sensation, let's go live stream this bad boy. Put it on Facebook Live. Put it on Periscope, because if you're posting,
go viral.
If you're posting the video, I assume that we know the answer. Yeah, I want to see this like live, death-defying stunt while you're holding a camera. While we might not know if you fall, because just once you're gonna fall, and I might feel really gross afterwards. Like, man, what did I just watch? But I'm going to like it for the first 5 seconds of you free-falling. Like, whoa, what just happened?
You think they'll hold on to the phone the whole time?
Well,
or?
Usually I think they put, like, GoPros on their on their heads when most of these people do these tricks. Or usually.
I've seen ones where, like, there's, like, I mean, like,
sometimes
it's kind
I'll
of a way, so I guess they got a second person up
sometimes
there.
Sometimes they'll have a photographer with them. Sometimes they'll have, like, a stick or a setup. But some of these guys just go GoPros where you're actually looking down with them. I want one of those guys to fall.
That's not a pretty image of those people falling to their death.
No, like I said, I'll probably feel gross about it afterwards.
How long do you think you could watch the free fall?
All the way to the scene of the accident, probably.
You don't think the camera would mess up like at a certain speed? I don't know how technology
that works. I don't think
works.
So. I mean,
the signal might though. Like I don't know. I just feel like
know.
If you're falling, the camera will mess up. I don't think we'll get to see the actual splat, but That would be weird.
I saw some of that coverage from, like, the 9/11 coverage, you know, and the people that had to jump out of the building, and that was some pretty rough stuff.
That's crazy.
I mean, if you ever look into that stuff. So, like, just the, it's, you know, it's pretty gross. It's pretty bad. So I don't know if I'd watch the whole thing, but I get what you mean about the falling, you know. And these people are actively going up trying to pull these stunts off. So, anyway, the Willis.
Just one time. Just once.
I'm sure that you could find you just YouTube, you know.
You think there's like.
I bet. Those aren't the ones that get circulated on Facebook and Twitter.
I don't want to. I don't want to know the end result.
You got to turn off like the safe search or whatever.
I'll go look.
I don't want to know the end result. Like, this guy falls to his death. That one feels a little bit more gross to watch.
Rotten.
I just want the excitement of, is he going to fall? And then if he falls, like,
whoa, he fell.
Whoa.
So you don't want to see him splatter on the ground.
Yeah, I'm not just here for death. I just want to have the option of death.
Have
Does that make sense?
The thrill of.
Yeah.
It's a thrill for you to watch someone falling who may or may not be about to die.
Or just he may or may not fall. Like, I don't want to go like full snuff film and see people getting killed or getting, you know, I don't want that. Don't paint me as some type of weirdo.
No, I know.
Apparently, there's a pretty big Chinese daredevil, or China's daredevil is what they call him.
Okay.
Apparently, he lost his grip on his latest video.
Did the video get posted?
It says how he lost his grip.
I don't think how he lost his grip is going to show that him actually losing his grip.
The YouTube headlines can be very misleading.
Did it show him lose his grip?
Yeah, it shows him.
Did it show the whole thing?
He's doing pull-ups on like the ledge of a skyscraper.
Like an idiot.
Like
an idiot.
He went to go climb back up and slipped, and it does not end well.
You can see him splat?
You can. It kind of cut off as soon as he fell, but I'm thinking as soon as if you go in further, because I kind of paused it. I think if you go in further, you'll see something bad. Let's see.
That's really not something you want to see.
Yeah.
That stuff is pretty bad.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Willis Tower said no one was ever in danger because the protective layer did what it was supposed to do. So that top plexiglass whatever.
No thanks. Like,
it cracked.
Uh-huh.
But apparently that's just the protective layer from the actual glass.
I'm not going to hang around to wait and find out.
Me neither.
I think I'm going to be like that. Have you seen the one grandpa in the videos where he's like holding onto the ledge, like he won't stand up? He's just like screaming. Like somebody really tricked him into going up there, and he is convinced he is going to fall, and it's really terrifying to watch. By the way, Jeremy Pruitt apparently said that Trey Smith is, quote, probably in the best shape of his life.
Hmm.
How about that for a bookend of an offensive lineman segment? Tweets in that you are only born with two natural fears, loud noises and heights. You ever heard that before? Loud noises, I guess, kind of makes sense, but heights, is that a natural fear you're born with?
You're only born with two natural fears?
That's what Bear says. I mean, I don't think he would tweet that into me unless he had it on good authority.
As much as I've seen babies love getting tossed up in the air, I don't think they're afraid of heights.
That's not that high, though.
To them, it is. Think about it. They're this big.
That's true. It is higher for a baby, isn't it?
That's fair. If you held a baby up really high in the air, would they know that they are high in the air?
Tossing babies in the air seems risky, by the way.
I always think about that, but I'm like, if they fall, like, babies are tough. Like, they'll be okay. Like, you don't drop it on its neck or something, you'll be fine, but.
Well, it just seems like something you don't really have to do. You know?
They're built to bounce back.
I mean, I've just always heard that if you drop a baby out of an airplane, the baby will live.
Wait,
I don't think that's accurate.
I've always heard that. You've never heard that before?
I find that very hard to believe.
Babies are very, very fragile. You think they're...
I don't think babies are fragile. I think babies are tough.
Because they're more compact?
As long as you keep babies away from, like, infections and stuff, I think babies will live, like, I think babies will... I just think that you'd be surprised at how much they could take, like how good they could take care of themselves. Like, as long as like you keep the infections away and they can find some food.
Babies are built to bounce back.
Babies are not resilient. You leave a baby on the street corner, that baby is not making it.
If you leave it out in the woods, though, it might.
No, it's not. It's going to be eaten by wolves.
Unless the wolves take it and nurture it.
Well, then you got Iron Man on your hands or something. You got some kind of
Iron Man?
That's not how that went.
That's not who I meant. I meant the I was reading
Jungle Book, maybe?
I was reading something about the...
Tarzan?
No. The wolf-looking guy. Who's the wolf-looking guy?
Wolverine?
Wolverine. Then you got a Wolverine or something. I had just read something about the Iron
Man. Is that
what
happened to Wolverine?
Was he taken in by wolves?
I don't think that's what happened to Wolverine either.
No, I'm not saying it. I'm just, you know.
I thought they just called him Wolverine because he had the side chops and the, I guess, the claws. I don't think that's what happened there. You get Tarzan or whatever.
I'm not sure that there's a superhero that has been taken in by wolves. Now we do have Tarzan who was taken in by gorillas.
Yeah, right. I mean, I was just going with animal.
Gorilla.
I was reading a story about an Iron Man triathlon.
Oh, same thing. Same thing.
Two men died. It'll be in headlines.
No, that's the thing. That have you never heard that theory that you could drop a baby from a building, like a really high building, or from an airplane, and that they'll land on the ground?
Who has
survived?
And they'll survive.
That's just not possible.
It's built around the same concept around how drunk drivers survive car crashes because they don't have reflexes and they don't tense up. So basically, the reason you get hurt in these crashes and you get hurt when you fall from high places
is
your body clenches and tenses up and your body shuts down. But drunk drivers who survive car wrecks more than sober people don't have those reflexes, so they survive. The same is to be said with babies who don't have the reflexes or know what's happening, so they just
they're just along for the ride.
You're saying that a baby falling from the sky is going to be relaxed.
You're telling me what's happening.
You take a baby and you throw this baby out of an airplane.
I'm thinking the baby's probably going to be crying.
He's going to be terrified. There's no way that baby's relaxed.
I'm just telling you what people think.
Well, no one's ever tested the theory.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
I think it's okay. You can have this theory all you want if it's never going to be tested, you know?
I'm not sure a baby would survive falling out of a plane, but I do. I have heard that they're, I mean, they bounce back. They're built to take on some stuff.
What's that, Cam? First floor window? Okay, so not an airplane, but we're getting there.
That's like a 5-foot drop.
First floor window? That's not very high.
No, a first floor window is right there. It's that window right here.
That's not very high,
Kim. Who tested that?
It's the window we're looking out right now.
You also have to take into account great point by Barmasters on Reddit who says that a large baby weighs 8 to 9 pounds. An average adult weighs 150 to 200 pounds. When a baby falls 10 feet, they hit the ground with a force of 113 joules. When an adult falls 10 feet, they hit the ground with 2,352 joules. So therefore, like, you know, you could just kind of talk about the impact of falling and mass and acceleration and all that. So the fall for a baby is not as much as, you know, as a full-grown person.
We got to do the Galileo test now.
Kind of like when you throw a cat from a window. And the cat lands on its feet.
I think cats just have something in their spines where they always turn around.
Cat always lands on its feet, but we don't know that the baby will.
Yeah, the cat's got something in their spine that whips them around.
Now, are we talking what kind of babies?
I still would be scared to throw a cat like backwards. Like, although every time I grab my cat, he always positions himself facing the ground. It seems like.
Let me ask you a couple more questions about throwing babies out of second floor windows. Are we talking newborn babies, or are we talking like 6 months or something? I mean, because there's probably a difference.
Newborn.
So we're throwing newborn babies.
We're throwing like a week or 2 week old baby that's like 9 pounds.
Okay. I'm still not buying this. You can't even hold one of those things without holding its head up. I mean, they're fragile. I don't think you can throw one of these things out a window.
I'm just telling you what I've always heard, and there's some people on Reddit who seem to agree with me.
All right, I found a story about a 2-year-old baby was the only survivor of a plane crash.
Whoa.
That killed 100 other people. And, yeah, so people were amazed that the baby survived, and, only survivor.
Okay, so we got a little bit there where the baby survives?
And there's just a lot of, like, stories of babies surviving, like, horrific stuff like earthquakes and being under debris and stuff. They're more likely to survive.
Are they less likely to die in fires?
Well, I don't think anybody's talking about fires, Cody.
I think that's a little different.
You don't have to be mad at us in science. Like, I have the science, and Kim's backing it up with real-life examples.
I can kind of see it in a plane crash. I can kind of see it in a plane crash because it's going to be in a more protected area.
And people say that babies are born, with a lot more bones. Is that true? Are babies born with more bones? Are they born with 300 bones instead of the 206 and then they fuse together?
Yeah, that's...
That's true?
I think I've heard that. So that means that... I can see it in a plane
crash. Baby falls 300-foot fall, says Kim? 4-month-old survived a 300-foot fall.
15-month-old survived a 3-story fall.
What is going on? I'm telling you! I'm... I'm not saying to throw your newborn baby from high places. I'm just saying
it would survive.
It has a greater chance.
If you happen to.
It has a greater chance of. Really, I don't know why we get so panicked when there's like in movies when there's a fire like on the third floor and it's like, I got my baby. You're like,
toss it.
It'll be fine.
It'll be all right.
It'll hit the ground. It'll be fine. Just don't let it hit the concrete. I feel like if it hits the concrete, that's bad news. But throw it over there in the grass somewhere. It'll be fine.
You personally have some problems, but just toss that baby right out.
I mean, might be in trouble, you and your heavy jewels. The baby, the baby's fine.
I think what we're on to here is that babies are more protected in a compact situation. Because you can fit them in these, what do you call it? The thing you carry them in?
Don't try to come over on the baby side. You've been anti-baby. You don't get to come over here.
No, I'm anti-throwing the baby out the window.
1 year old expected to survive after 11-story fall. That's
expected to survive.
Again.
11-story fall?
I don't know. I'm just telling you what the Minnesota.CBSLocal.com headline is. I don't want to find the follow-up story in case it didn't survive. A, because that hurts my narrative, but B, also because I find out that a 1 year old kid, died.
Right. Nobody likes dead babies.
Sure.
But mainly
it hurts your narrative.
The way I've always heard it from new parents and such is like basically like as you watch this 2-year-old, 3-year-old run around and bang his head on everything, it's just like, oh yeah, they'll be fine. They're meant to bounce back.
Maybe I'm wrong. I always viewed them as fragile beings.
Now,
maybe people are just too careful with them.
Yeah.
I think your baby has to I think your baby has to land the right way. Like I said, I don't think you can drop it on its head.
You got
to
go feet first.
Cam points out they're fragile to shaking. You can't do that.
I wouldn't even go feet first. I would go kind of like how mankind fell off the cell, side first. That's the way I always thought you're supposed to take those bumps. Like when they threw mankind off of the hell in the cell and the Undertaker's like, hey, let's go, buddy. You're out of here. Well, actually, mankind's like, throw me. And the Undertaker's like, what? He's like, throw me. Throw you. Throw me. Threw him like 15 feet through a table. Mankind landed on his side. He took the bump on his side. I think that's the safest way for the baby to fall out of the plane. Have you not seen that video? You look confused about the Hell in the Cell reference there, Ben.
I've seen a couple of these where, like, I saw one time on demand one time. They had, like, a bunch of old WrestleManias.
Okay. Well, this wasn't at WrestleMania, but keep going.
My dad showed me this one where there was like a triple cage match. So they had to get out.
VHS.
They had to get out on the very, very top of, like, three different cages. And then at some point, this guy jumped off and landed on the ramp going down.
Yeah, I think that was the David Arquette movie Ready to Rumble. That was, like, a movie.
No, this was, like, a legitimate WWE. Like,
same thing that happened in Ready to Rumble. They had the three cages stacked. Maybe they stole the idea later. I'll look this up,
but I swear to God, it was on...
Don't swear to my God.
It was on, like... It was the, like, Xfinity. They did, like, because they were all going up to a certain WrestleMania.
And it was, like, movies. You're like, actors, David Arquette. Okay, Ready to Rumble,
it was WrestleManias throughout time.
What WrestleMania are you talking about?
I don't even. What's happening?
I don't know. I didn't hear the first part of the description.
Ben just looked really confused about the Hell in the Cell thing, and now we're talking about.
I was just trying to figure out if it was the same thing I was thinking of, but apparently this is from a movie.
No. Yours is from a movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, I don't actually know if it's from a movie, but they did have the triple cage thing in Ready to Rumble.
What if you threw
a baby off the Hell in a Cell through the announce table?
I think it'd be fun.
Through the Spanish announce table?
Anyone can survive a fall into the Spanish announce table. That is science.
That has been proven.
Hour 1 in the books, hour 2 on deck.